The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like it's better, with you. My life, it's better, with you. This is true, it's better, with two. My life, it's better with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
Oh, it's not, though, Justin.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother.
What? Got a little suspense.
The pregnantest
Did you like
pause.
That
pause was pregnant with triplets. Yeah. I'm your middleest brother, Travis, the effervescent.
Oh,
McElroy. Okay. Do you stop saying your last name and it's like, that's our fucking brand, dog.
No, but like that's how a flourish works. Like, Peter the Great wasn't like, I'm Peter Smith the Great.
Dinkinson.
Smith. Yeah, that wasn't sure. It.
I'm Griffin McElroy, the youngest of them. And so glad to be here.
I just want to take this opportunity, and it's from my heart. I just want to apologize to you two. I've been watching a lot of Encanto lately.
Yeah,
and it makes me realize how hard it must have been for you guys to grow up in my shadow, because I'm kind of like a mix of like both Louisa and Isabel.
Strong and perfect.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I'm it's making me realize now how much you guys must have felt like, I don't know, like a Bruno or maybe even like a Mirabelle, just completely no powers.
I felt more like one of the dirty rats that lived in the walls that just like nobody gave a shit about.
I feel like Kerp McElroy is the Bruno, right? Like, because we don't talk about
Kerp. No,
Kerp live in the walls.
Kerp live in walls.
The walls with little Griffin the rat.
Yeah.
Kerp live in walls. He'll tell you that, but don't ask him.
Kerp kicked ass. I did like kicking it with him because he was like way more loosey goosey than the rest of y'all.
He's kind of the one of us that's pissed off about cancel culture. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, Kerp.
It's weird. Kerp's, that vibe Kerp gives off, I do not.
He got really into crypto, and he keeps calling it crypto. and then he moved out, and he's high on the hog at this point.
He has a dinner plate, and he, like, always has it on him. And I'm like, what's up? And he's like, Bitcoin. And I say, no. And then he shows me that he did draw a dollar sign on it.
Yeah.
And there's... and that there is bite marks all over that he put on, that he put in there. That's Kerp.
But that's
Didn't
just
we
a
have
joke.
Another fictional brother? Was there a Dougie?
We've had so many fictional brothers, which is so cool. Whenever we post a picture of us with any person who's not us, and they're like, "Oh, there's Kerp." So
I've just stopped taking pictures of people who aren't you two.
Yeah, it confuses
not even my children
in a big way. Especially if you do a photo of the two of us, with one of them not in there, but somebody else is there, and they're like, "Man, Travis looks fucking buck wild," and it's like,
that's not him.
Travis doesn't
look as strong and perfect as he usually does.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
He's not covered in donkeys and flowers like he normally is.
Right, because you're a fusion of the.
Well, I'm not saying I'm literally a fusion Griffin. It's not like there was some kind of like transporter accident and it combined Louisa and Isabella. I'm saying that I represent the strength and perfection of both of them while you guys are struggling to come out from under my beautiful, perfect shadow.
Yeah.
I have an unrelated announcement.
Please.
Okay.
I have an announcement for all the listeners of this program.
All of them?
And the haters.
And the haters. No, just listeners. I now know that Dr. Pepper is making a berries and cream flavor.
Oh,
I have this information.
Okay.
I have the information from you and you and you and you and you, you and you. Okay? I got it.
Yeah.
They're making a... I let that go. That part of myself is in the past.
Yeah. Mm.
I am moving on to new projects, much like Gordon Lightfoot stopped playing The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald because he didn't want it to overshadow the rest of his great tunes, the rest of Gord's gold.
Right. The launch of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which was the prequel he wrote.
Uh-huh. Right, and the model of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
I've got this kick-ass ship, and it will never crash.
Nothing is ever going wrong with this bitch. Hey, wait, Gordon?
Gordon? I don't think that's what we would say.
Gordon, I don't think that's the lyric. That's nautical terminology. Gordo didn't make that one up. Gordo, I think.
Further alienating all our listeners. But no, like, yep, I got it. You don't have to tweet it,
but text Justin,
it, or Facebook it, or signal it. Or gab, gab Justin, it. You don't have to put it on Parler for me anymore. I got it.
No more periscopes.
No, no, no vines. I got it. Vine yeah. 2, all of it. I got it.
But Justin, you can't shut down the pipeline that has served you so well. Like, Sherlock Holmes never went to the Baker Street Irregulars and he was like, I get it. Somebody's murdered.
Got it, guys.
Move on.
Thank you. Thank
it's you. It's just, I can't explain to you guys what it feels like. I know we've addressed this topic before, but now when corporations are going to make Mondo money off of this, and it's like, thank you, Justin. Thank you for this great corporate gift. It's like, it's not for you.
Well, you should have thought about that.
Yeah, before you accepted all that money from Dr. Pepper to launch the Berries and Cream sound on TikTok so that they could launch this. It's all been building to this, and now you're biting the hand that feeds you and drinks you?
Anyway.
You're just not going to address
I'm not going to address I don't want to talk about Berries and Cream anymore. Well, I do other things.
I'll just say this. I think that sounds like a kick-ass flavor.
Dr. Pepper. Sounds good.
It sounds really good.
They need it in a diet, though. Dr. Pepper is
Berries and Cream Zero would be ideal.
Berries and Cream Zero, I'd never drink anything else.
I get out of here. Now, Justin, you said you do other things, and I would like you to list some of them, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember I used to do the doll thing? People used to like that.
Okay.
I got a Shorty Award in 2008.
For what? For a tweet? Twitter.
Yeah. I was the AP AP award winner for my business writing in the regional AP awards.
I had a really good Facebook memory about that back from 2008 that you posted on my Facebook wall, a link to your Shorty Award, and you said something like, eat my balls or something like
it was. Were we both up for that?
I don't think we were both up for it, but I think
an award for how good a single tweet was.
It's so fun when you think about how different things were. What is that, 14 years ago? That you won a Shorty Award and you were the type of person that went on your younger brother's Facebook wall and posted a link to your Shorty Award and just said, eat my balls.
Different time.
Now, I will say, though, in 2008, that could have been a reference to the hit meme about different characters eating my balls.
Yeah, it definitely was that. But still, I don't think that changes the point that the odds were a different time.
Would you do that now, Justin? Would you win an award for a tweet you wrote and then go on Griffin's Facebook page and post a link to that award and write, eat my balls?
Now, I think you'd probably get like a scarf my ass.
Oh,
sure.
Scarf, huff my farts kind of deal.
Yeah.
Is huff my farts harder edge than to eat my balls?
Eat my balls? No.
Because to eat my balls seems like much more of a commitment. Like, if someone's going to eat some balls versus huffing farts could almost be a passive.
I found it. This was from February 12th, 2009, and Justin posted a link to a CNN article about the Shorty Awards, which...
wow.
It's pretty wild, and he just wrote, and on his younger brother's wall on Facebook for everyone to see, suck on this.
Wow.
Why?
Suck on this CNN article that doesn't even load anymore. About your Shorty
What's
Award.
CNN
Why
hiding?
Why did I tell you to suck on that CNN article?
I don't know, man.
Had you been rooting against me? Like, I don't remember this.
Probably were you even not. Working for Polygon or Joystick at that point?
I forget the timeline, but I did. I guess that made me feel small, Justin.
I just want to say, there's a part of me, why didn't you post on my wall that I could suck on your shorty award? Was I not on the social media at this point? Was I not?
Probably not.
You were too busy in college or something. Listen.
In 2009, Justin, I was 24.
Yeah. You did go back there for a bit.
Oh, but yeah. Anyway, oh, wait, I did, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah, you did. Oh, you did.
Yeah, I did go back to college for a while. That might have been true. God, good times. Thanks, everybody, for strolling down this memory lane with us. Yeah. That's going to do it for us this week, folks.
No. We are ahead of Vice Show. We're going to help people. Here's one.
Okay.
I'm going to visit my sister next month, and while I'm there, I use her guest room.
Yes.
One problem, her sheets suck. Oof. They feel like burlap. Would it be rude to gift her sheets for the guest bed? Or any advice y'all could give? Thanks. That's from Sleepless in San Antonio.
Now, listen, it is fine to give a host gift. So you could be like, and I brought my own sheets. Now, here's the thing. Unless your sister is completely obtuse, it will be pretty obvious.
Pretty insulting. You're like,
yeah, pretty clear.
I brought these sheets for me to sleep on. Go ahead and put them on now, please. I'll wait.
It can't be a preference thing, right? I prefer burlap. Like nobody, they've got to be sleeping on some silky stuff. And but
yeah,
I just don't think
they care.
Yeah,
it's a guest bed. It's getting used. What? Maybe she, once a month.
And
maybe
she's probably never used. I mean, there's a very good chance that she doesn't know. See, this is why direct communication is so important.
Mm.
You got to go in and just say, hey, I love you as a person. Your guest bed sheets are trash. I mean, they're trash.
That's one. That's one option. Another option is you show up day one and you're like ghost costumes, and then you have her put on those, and so she can feel it all over her body. And then when you guys are done playing ghost costumes and scaring people around the neighborhood, saying that you're a ghost, she can be like, you know what? I just had these on my body when I was pretending to be a ghost earlier, and they suck. They're terrible.
Griffin, it doesn't matter because there will be holes cut in them. The problem has solved itself with a ghost costume.
Now, hold on. It depends where the holes are put. Because what, two holes? That's going to stop you from using sheets? Come on, Mr. Moneybags. I didn't realize that two holes was all it took before you stopped using sheets.
No, my child, my
friend. Also, you're not using fitted sheets for ghost costumes, Justin. You'll look like a sack of testicles.
You'll look like Grimace.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
That's a good point.
You look like a bruised up sack of testicles like Grimace.
And maybe you could help in this. So you get the sheets, uh-huh, and then you throw them into the washing machine with some shoes.
Okay.
And fabric softener. And then you just run them. You know what I mean? You run them. And that shit, maybe that could like soften them up a little bit so it's a little more pleasant for you.
I'm just saying that like if someone came to me, if one of my brothers, the one that I love the most, hey, came to my house and said,
Hey, guys.
What?
How do you think fabric softener works?
I assume it's acid. That breaks down the bonds.
Why don't they put it on before? Why do I have to be involved in that?
It doesn't actually soften it, though. It's not magic.
I mean, it
does.
Makes it softer. So, like, why do I have to be involved in that?
I thought it just reduced static.
No, it makes it softer. Are you serious? What did you? Okay, when you put a sheet in the dryer, what's that for?
Well, I use woolen balls in the dryer, Justin.
I bet you do.
What's that supposed to mean, sir?
Nasty dog. Anyway,
I'm an adult.
Nobody knows how fabric softener works. That's proven. Go ahead, Travis.
I'm just saying that if the brother that I love the most, which now might be evident, came to my house and said, hey, these sheets on your guest bed suck, and I brought you other ones to put on there, and I'll put them on myself, I'd be like, okay, I don't care. Like, it's my guest bed. It really has zero impact on me. And in fact, if anything, this is a net gain because you brought the sheets, you put them on. It cost me nothing.
You don't even have to say against the sheet. You don't have to say anything bad against the sheets. Hey, Becky, I hate to be a pain, but my doctor said I have perigrubitis and I have to use these prescription sheets.
I got special sheets that I'm going to leave here.
These are special sheets that I'll leave here. I'm leaving them everywhere I could possibly sleep. But because of the perigrubitis, I have to use these prescription sheets.
There's also a good chance you could just change out the sheets and like secret away the old sheets and your sister would never know. If anything, your sister might one day, years from now, approach this to change the sheets on the guest bed and think, Are these the sheets I put on the guest bed? I don't know. I don't mindfully put sheets on unless
your sister's just crazy about these Shrek ass sheets. So
I love exfoliating my guests.
Yeah. Hey, can I approach the wizard?
I wish you would. Thank you.
Cool.
I love that.
We got a. This one was sent in by so many people, and it is how to make a Star Wars movie.
Okay.
Just for fun, you might like to toy around with making the next big episode in the Star Wars saga using your own home filming gear.
I would.
It won't be as spectacular as Hollywood's special effects, but
you assume. But
provided you focus on the fun of making a movie and use your creativity, you'll enjoy the experience and learn things in the process. Awesome. It probably won't be the next big episode in the Star Wars saga. So I feel like you opened with a pretty huge salvo there of like, do you want to be George Lucas? And then you like immediately dipped out of that.
But I do like that they couched it though by saying it probably won't. They weren't like, this definitely won't be the next. They're like, hey, listen, I don't fucking know, man.
Yeah.
Maybe. But so, I'm going to be upfront. It probably won't. But I don't know.
Listen, we can do this ourselves. This can be a fun little game that we play. So step one, think up some characters. You can't do anything until you got a couple main characters. You don't have to flesh it all out now. Just have enough to build a story around. A good guy and a bad guy. Just make sure you have enough to start your plot.
Now, obviously, we could also, I mean, if it's a next in the series, we could use some of the ones that's already there. This is Chewie's big movie. You know what I mean? Like, that guy hasn't gotten enough to do, right?
But the problem is if you do that, then you get in trouble with Lucas. But if you come up with new guys, a new good guy, a new bad guy.
Okay.
Georgie Boy will leave you right alone.
Spork?
No.
Spork Magnificence.
The first name has to be normal, right?
Okay. Mm. Oh, right. Like Josh?
Josh is great.
Yeah. Josh.
G-E-O-S-H.
Yeah,
Josh.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's
G-E-O-S-H.
Cool. That's how they spell it on Bovabean, which is the planet.
Yes.
This one's set
Josh
on
Dawn Treader.
Josh. Now, that's hitting me a little fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. What about.
It's got to be something celestial and then a mode of transport.
Do you know what I mean? So it could be like
Josh Suntruck.
Josh Sunrunner.
Suntrucker.
Josh Sunrunner's cool.
That's too cool.
Actually a pretty good way of making a cool name.
All right, it is, doesn't it?
It kind of works.
Fine, it's Josh Sunrunner.
Well, and then we can make, if you want, we can make the villain like
that's
John Suntrucker.
It's very
confusing. They're always getting confused everywhere they go.
Dr. Lucas made it easy on us for this one because first name is Darth, and then the second word is just a nasty sounding word. So Josh Sunrunner hates his dad, Darth.
It can't be his dad. That's taken.
Darth.
Darksh. This is the bad guy?
Yeah.
Darth Darksh.
What's the good guy?
Josh Sunrunner.
Versus Darth Flippins.
No.
It's got to be Darth Sidious Vader. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be.
Okay,
like,
yeah. Darth Scab.
Darth Shit Scab.
Dar.
Well, it can't be Dar Dar Dar.
Can't be Dar Dar. Darth Dar Dar Dar.
Ew, Dar Dar Dar. Darth Dar Dar. Darth Dar Dar Sauce.
Little dar. I see your force is as powerful as mine. Right. Dar.
Wait, is this another villain talking to Darth Dardar?
Two villains fighting to see who gets to be Josh Sunrunner's dad.
Your mother loves me more. I will be your new dad.
Yes. So this is two. This is like we're combining Star Wars and Daddy's Home at this point. Yes.
Okay. So great.
Darth
Dar.
No.
Settled.
No. Please call me Darth Dardar for short.
Darth Dardar versus Darth Scabulous or some scab.
Yeah.
Scapula. Darth Scapulum.
Darth Scabula.
Darth Hematoma.
And then
Darth Scabulov.
Love is a cool one to put in there because it's like
Dark Scabulos.
Okay, we can agree that Dark Scabulov is the cool one, right?
Yeah, sure.
It's not Darth Dardar.
We're rooting for Darth Scabulov.
Well, now don't assume whom I'm rooting for, Justin. I'm rooting for the underdog.
You got to keep the fuel under the fire under the writer's room, and that's okay, us you're right now. You're right. So let's keep it.
Who's writing this down?
Step two, the wiki. Step two.
And can we agree that Marissa Tomei is playing the mom? Can we just establish?
I'm not casting it right now. I'm just in this room.
Oh my god. Okay, but I can't picture it with.
Okay. Also, there's no moms in Star Wars. Only aunts.
That's okay.
And we can't make Marissa Tomei another aunt.
That is true.
You know what I mean?
That is true.
Okay, so come up with a plot. Awesome. Start with the main idea, the main conflict of the movie. We got that. These two Darths want to beat Josh's dad. Next, think of some things that could happen along the way.
Okay.
They take him out for a drive in the pod racer.
Yeah.
No, they take him to a pod race. But Darth Scabulov bets on the pod races.
Awesome.
Oh, and that's good or bad?
We don't like that.
It's kind of up to the...
It's
through a series of misunderstandings, Darth Dardar is in the race.
Oh, that's
He shouldn't funny. Be. He yeah. shouldn't be. He was looking for the bathroom, and he went in the wrong door, and suddenly he's out there in the pod race.
Okay,
right?
focus on a theme of your own. You might want to make it really original, like the Great Sith War or the New Republic.
No, that's too big. That's too much that's too much lore for me.
Yeah.
I like this. I want to establish that this is a quiet time in this galaxy far, far away.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Everything's pretty much, I'm not even going to say simmering at this point. This is just like, everyone's like, well, I don't feel like doing anything right now. So the Darths have some free time for romance.
To fuck around. Okay, so step three.
They're not fucking around, Griffin. They're looking for love.
Right, in all the wrong places. And this next step is going to really be in our wheelhouse because it's the literal next step in this WikiHow article. And it does say, make it funny.
Oh, hell yeah.
Humor will improve the amateur.
Keep your grades up.
Keep your grades up. Make it funny. It'll improve the amateur movie, allowing for much forgiveness for the amateur setting and storyline. Add a few jokes and punchlines to your movie. It wouldn't be a good one without it. Make sure that you understand people's styles and make the humor fit each of them. Here's an example scene they have. Rebel 1 and Rebel 2 are walking. Rebel 1 collapses. Rebel 2 calls for his commanding officer. Rebel 2, sir, my partner collapsed and is not breathing. What should I do? Commander, make sure he is dead, then tell me. Rebel 2 shoots Rebel 1. Rebel 2, now what?
Oh, my God.
That's a killer.
Wow.
Can I punch
up that joke?
Yeah.
Rebel 1 collapses. Rebel 2, I think he's dying. Rebel 1, nah, I'm sleepy and I shit my pants.
Okay.
Funny.
That's funny to me, too. You could also have Josh Stargetter.
Sunrunner.
I forgot his name. Sunrunner come up and, like, everybody's like, wow, fucked up. We just saw a murder on the screen. But then Josh Sunrunner comes up and takes the laser out of him. And now he's okay again.
Oh,
my God.
Do you know what I mean? Because then that way you do get the really funny joke that they come up with, but you don't have to feel guilty about it because you watch someone die.
Oh, okay.
Because he took the laser out.
Uh-huh.
So that's cool. And you might be saying like that, but that's not an established Star Wars power. And to that, I would say, watch anything. Watch any Star Wars shit that's come out for the last 10 years, guys. We're just having fun with it at this point.
Yeah. Now, this does occur to me, Griffin, because we hadn't established, this is probably, knowing Star Wars canon, something we should have decided early on.
Yeah, sure.
Is Josh a chosen one of some sort?
Of course. That's the dumbest thing you've ever said on this show.
Yeah, of course he is.
Josh, and also he can turn into a wolf. Part four.
Hell yeah, dude.
Produce a script.
Dude. Like a force wolf?
Yeah, of course it's a force wolf, Travis. That's the second dumbest thing you've
said. Wait, before we move on, what have we established so far? Josh Sunrunner is the
chosen. He is a chosen one.
He is a chosen one.
He is the nephew of.
There has to be some attack. Like, you got to have something set up so that in episode, like the third or fourth episode of the show, fucking Greedo walks in and everyone's like, ugh! And that's them nutting.
Yeah, He's Grogu's nephew.
He's Grogu's.
No. I don't want tied up with the Mandalorian verse. Like,
yeah, it's got to be its
own. Ooh, like, even though Timothy Oliphant is in the Mandalorian verse.
That's great. I don't know why that changes the point. Like,
well, he's going to come in at the end and sweep the mother aunt off her feet.
Is he maybe related to Kit Fisto somehow?
Oh, or Porkins?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wedge Antilles, perhaps?
Yeah, he's the Death Star's grandpa. Anyway, and then the Death Star shows up in the sky, and everyone's like, "Oh yeah, baby, I love that big ship."
He's half. Well, he's half Jawa. He's half Jawa.
He's half Jawa.
All right.
Griffin, you're an architect of the Star Wars universe, specifically.
Yeah, I got my fingers all over the Jawa pulse. Produce a script. You'll need this for the actors to follow.
Oh, well, fuck. I didn't know that was part of writing a movie.
Yeah, it starts to get
less fun. Do
you
know how fucked up it is that Griffin's here doing this, and he did actually write part of the Star Wars extended universe?
Yeah, that's why I'm so good at this part.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. Okay.
Just break off a couple lines, Griffin, that feel inherently Star Wars. You know what
I
mean?
Like from the script?
Yeah, like what's something that, because listen, you can't just like, "Hey, how's it going, man?" That's not what someone in Star Wars would say.
Sure,
a Star Wars-y
way
to?
This is like episode, this is the pilot, because yeah. I just decided it's on Disney Plus, this series, and it's not a movie. And Josh Schoenaerts is like, "I just feel something calling to," and he's got like a British accent, right? So he's like,
"Yeah. How old is he?"
He's 31.
Okay.
"I feel something calling to me from the stars. And
Is that Michael Caine?
Let me finish.
Okay.
"I feel the stars, something in there moving for me. And I can feel the power grow." Is that fucking Greedo?
Now, wait, is that the sound of Josh nutting overseeing Greedo?
No, it's him turning into a wolf.
It's he's
right. Of course.
Yeah.
That happens when he nuts. Let's get some humor in there. He turns into a wolf when he nuts, like in Teen Wolf.
Yeah. And at this point, I think I've decided we shouldn't do the two dads thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting.
Which of the Darths do you want to get rid of?
Probably Dar-da-dar, because that's not going to, we can't make toys of them.
Can it be an unrelated storyline that is happening off screen that people keep waiting for it to intersect?
People love
it. It doesn't even have to be B. I mean, it could be D.
Extras. Remember, Star Wars is full of extras. Got to find extras. "Hey, guys, we're doing this kick-ass movie about, can I see the script?" "Well, we've got one line written so far."
Yeah. and we've made some major cuts.
But listen, we...
Okay, I get it, the problems with only having one line, but if you're like, "Be in my movie," and the one line is,
kicks ass like that.
"I feel something calling to me from the stars." Is that Greedo?
Wolfhound.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in.
You can sell that shit in the room.
You don't have to give a script to the extras. They don't have lines.
No way.
They just are going to react to Josh turning into a wolf, and that's what we're selling this series on.
Beats ass. All right, this is creating the backdrop and effects, okay? Part one, make a set. You'll need at least one set to film against.
Yeah.
If you live near a city or in one, you could make it in Coruscant. Awesome.
Huh.
Where do you live? Cleveland. You can make Cleveland look like Coruscant. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Just film the tops of the buildings. 1-to-1. If you live in the woods, it would be a good idea to make the movie in Kashyyyk or Endor.
Endor.
Yeah.
Yes, obviously.
Obviously. You didn't need to tell
me that. Live in Arizona, in parentheses, desert, you could make it on Tatooine. Awesome. If you're in the mountains.
But I want to create a new planet.
Mountains can be Hoth. Big field can be Naboo. If you live near a swamp, make it Dagobah.
Welcome. This is my planet, Backyardia. And yes. It looks just like it's someone's backyard.
And these are the backyardigans. Kip, Jeff.
I have long been the mayor of Kroger parking lot, but I am thrilled. You've made this long journey, Sunrunner.
And it looks like they're asking us to leave because we didn't acquire any permits. Let us move to Mom's basement here.
It's a stormtrooper.
My name is Carl. Get out of my fucking Krogers. Get out of my Krogers.
Do you want to be in my movie?
Yeah.
Of course. There's a lot of lines in this article that beat absolute ass. And this is another one. Step three, find suitable music. You can play it on your guitar, but you can make it better by adding the real deal.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
What? Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Get some real jizz in there.
Get some real space jizz in there would be so cool. But how much cooler would Star Wars have been if it was like, down, 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 screaming, woo, woo, woo. And people would be like, well, this isn't the real deal music because it's just a guitar, but damn.
That's good, but what if it was more like...
Oh, that's good. Do you think that George went to John Williams do the Star Wars? He did, right?
He did some of it.
He did some of it. And then he was like, George was like, so we need a music for this scene in a bar. And then John
Williams
was
like, that's a really good George Lucas.
Thanks. And John Williams was like, okay, I think it'll be like, ba, 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 ba. And then George Lucas was like, no, make it stupid. Like,
make it sound like a child's toy.
Make it dumb, like dumb jizz.
What? What'd you call it, George? Did you mean to say jazz? No, I meant jizz.
I wasn't thinking of jizz when I said that.
That's what they call it in space. Wait, George, you're saying that they call music jizz? And say, yeah, I'm George Lucas. I got to go work on Howard the Duck.
The only thing wilder than the moment that a person learns that George Lucas called the music jizz is the moment that George Lucas learns that semen is called jizz.
Yeah.
That would be the only thing
That's it too? Is it too late to, what's that? People will only know about it if I talk about it in interviews? Well, I can't stop myself from talking about jizz. When you've got jizz in your heart, you've got to let it out.
What's a funny story, isn't it? Get some actors. Remember how Harrison Ford flew the Millennium Falcon in circles just to lose the Imperials in that asteroid field in The Empire Strikes Back? Well,
spoilers.
Well, to get characters with good personality like Solo, you need actors with equally good personalities. Why did Tom Holland, his brother?
Get Tom Holland, get Marissa Tomei. We're going to get Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Get Zendaya in there.
And of course, what would the film be with old Josh Sunrutter as Willem Dafoe? We gotta have him. We gotta get Willem.
This is the thing, because not a lot of people.
Now stop the show. Griffin just said Josh Sunrutter as Willem.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. It can't be the other way.
I think the sentence I said was, what would the film be with Josh Sunrunner as Willem Dafoe? As if, like, I was pitching that to you.
Yeah, you're pitching a parody of your own movie that you haven't made.
Yeah. I love this.
We'll the rest this. Of this article kind of...
I think it might go a little something like this.
Now, give me a job that Willem Dafoe might not normally have.
Right.
I'm hearing sex therapist.
The rest of this article is boring, except for there's one last step that says, create the DVD. Once you're satisfied, send the movie to a menu-making program like iDVD or others that work for you. Make a cool menu design, then burn your movie to the disc. This is your prototype. If you're happy with your movie, then burn some more. Sell them on the street or something. Maybe make a trailer. If someone came up to you on the street and is like, hey, do you want to buy for $10 the Star Wars movie I made? The answer to that will never be no.
It would, yes. I would actually rather do that than if someone says, like, I have a bootleg copy of a real Star Wars DVD like $10 versus one I made from scratch starring Willem Dafoe as himself as Josh Sunrunner.
I'm changing the movie again because I do feel like I'm taking a sort of directorial role at this point.
Does it feel that?
It feels more like an executive producer to me, but
yeah, more of an EP.
Well, here's what I'm thinking is that
because you're constantly kind of like fucking up my vision.
Yeah, sure. So
listen, I'm happy just being there to shepherd what I consider now my baby.
Well, yeah, but I've
got as the writer,
I got my hands on the scissors.
We can co-make it, Trav. We can be.
Did
like
you almost call your brother Charlie?
Travis Rousseau.
Yeah.
And Justin Rousseau, like the Rousseau brothers.
Yeah. Okay. And I can be like a powerful movie producer. And there's honestly only, I can't think of too many of them. And a lot of them are pretty bad, people. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me just say that.
You're Kevin Feige.
Let me do say this. No last name for the protagonist. He's just Josh.
No.
Hey, Justin, can you join me over here in my trailer?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
I'm Willem Dafoe as Josh.
I think we got to cut Griffin out.
No, wait. We got to give him a different name.
We got to give who a different name?
Griffin. He can't just be Griffin. That's our brother. He's the producer of the movie.
Yeah, we got to cut him out.
He needs a new character, though.
So we're going to give Griffin a character and then cut that character out of the movie?
No. No. I'm saying in the rich fiction we're developing, Griffin can't just be Griffin.
Okay. Josh, too? We got to cut Josh, too.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Let's go back out of our trailer.
Okay. Hey, do you want to handle it? What? Yeah, what'd you just drink?
I'll take care of it. Griffin,
what do you guys think about Pete Davidson as a new sort
Wait, hold on, Justin, come back over here. That's a really, it's a really good suggestion.
It's really good.
It's really
good. Let me talk to Griffin. Okay. Griffin, hey.
And he would be like a hut, like a crazy hut.
Oh, wait, Justin, step back over here. I don't like that. I want Pete in the movie, obviously, but not as a hut.
That's it. I'm striking out on my own.
What?
It's a solo project now.
No, they already made solo.
I'm producing and directing. This is my... body of evidence. This is my.
I'm going to make my own. Then I'm making my own movie.
Okay. We'll run them next to each other simultaneously. Hey, we need to take a quick break. And then when we get, we're going to go to the money zone, is what is going to happen. I mean, that's what's happening.
Oh, I see.
That might just sound like Babbel to you, but I was actually speaking a foreign language, and that's because I learned it on Babbel.
That is not a ringing endorsement for this actual advertiser.
Yeah, unless you're speaking, are you speaking Atlantean?
It's an actual service, because I can say it's so edifying to learn another language. It can make travel more fun. It could just keep the fucking neurons firing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like make you feel like you're making progress in your life, even though some other things might have run aground, you know?
And if one of one of your other friends knows the language, you can badmouth a third friend in front of their face and they'd never know.
That's so fun.
Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Pig Latin. Plus,
just learn them all at once. That's what I did.
Just learn them all at once. Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Yes, I studied English there. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free.
Get out.
That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to babbel.com and use the promo code My brother. That's BABBEL.com. Code my brother. Babbel, language for life.
Hey, Griffin.
Yeah.
It just seems like you got a lot on your mind.
No, you got I'm a doing lot great, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Having a pretty good day.
Okay, because you seem pretty stressed out.
No, seems guys, like I'm doing great.
Well, why don't you take a moment and just check in with yourself, Griffin?
Don't need to. Like... I'm awesome right now, actually.
Oh, God. He's really freaking out. Griffin, have you considered maybe doing, like, Calm to, like, clear your head and maybe try some, like, guided daily meditations? You could improve your focus with Calm's curated music tracks or drift off to sleep with Calm's imaginative sleep stories for children and adults?
Yeah. Oh, well, let me try it. Boop.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I was fucked up.
Yeah, I knew it!
I was saying that I was actually good, but as it turns out, I was pretty fucked up.
I knew it.
Wow,
and you
thanks,
at home,
man.
Too, can find out what Griffin has just found out, which is the joy of Calm, by going to calm.com/mybrother. You'll get a limited time offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of programming and new content is added every week. There's over 100 million people using Calm around the world, so go check it out, calm.com/mybrother. And for listeners of the show, Calm is offering a special limited time promotion of 40% off of a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/mybrother. So go to calm.com/mybrother for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/mybrother.
Hi, I'm looking for a movie.
Oh, I gotcha.
There's that new foreign film with the time travel.
There's an amazing documentary about queer history on streaming.
Have I told you about this classic where giant robots fight?
Or there's that one that most critics hated, but I thought was actually pretty good.
Ooh, I know. The one with the huge car chase, and then there's that scene where
the car jumps over the submarine.
Wow, who are you eclectic movie experts?
Well, I'm Ify Wadiwe.
I'm Drea Clark.
And I'm Alonzo Duraldi. And together, we host the movie podcast, Maximum Film.
New episodes every week on MaximumFun.org.
And you actually just walked into our recording booth.
Oh, weird. Sorry. I thought this was a video store.
You seem like a lady with a lot of problems.
Well, Manolo, we have a show to promote. It's called Dr. Game Show.
It's a family-friendly podcast where listeners submit games and we play them with callers from around the world.
Oh, sounds good. New episodes happen every other Wednesday on MaximumFun.org.
It's a fast and loose oasis of absurd innocence and naivete.
Are you writing a poem?
No, and just saying things from my memory. And it's a nice break from reality. Is that, are we allowed to say that?
I don't know. It sounds bad.
It comes with a 100% happiness guarantee.
It does not. Come for the games and stay for the chaos.
I have to do my laundry at a laundromat, and I often find that people will leave their clothes in the dryer long after they're finished, and I need that dryer. You don't mind know where this is going.
You're going to throw away their clothes.
You're going to throw away their clothes in the garbage. I don't want to just pull their laundry out and put mine in. That seems rude. And the laundry will get wrinkly. So I fold the clothes and put them on top of the dryer. I know that's weird, but is it too weird? No one has caught me yet.
Well, that's not a good follow-up for the question. Yeah, is
no
it
one has
too
caught
weird?
Me yet. I have no idea what I would say if someone caught me. I just don't want their clothes to get wrinkly, but I also need to use the dryer, and I don't want to wait. Do I need to stop doing this? That's from Secretly Folding Laundry in San Antonio.
I don't know.
I'm fucking stumped, man. I got nothing.
I don't know what weird is anymore. I've lost all kind of perspective.
Yeah. Oh, you know who could help? Let me call Chris Gethard real quick, because he actually...
He's not going to take your call. No,
well,
let me
see. Hold on.
He's so busy.
I'm dialing. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, beep. Beep, boop, boop, beep, beep, boop, beep, boop.
Oh.
Beep, beep, boop, boop, beep, beep, boop.
Wow.
Sometimes it feels like you just dial with your heart.
That was just me making noises with my mouth.
Okay, now I actually call him.
Now, I got him on speed dial.
Okay. That's not what speed dial means.
It also has way too many numbers. Where is he?
Hello, I can't hear him. I'm really fucking busy. Who is this?
Oh, I told you.
Hi. Sorry, Chris. Chris Gethard, welcome to our phone call that we're having together, a real phone call.
Thank you for calling. But do you know how much it cost me to get the custom number when you wish upon a star?
that was supposed to be Baba Black Sheep. Boy, is my face red.
I think we may have just doxed you, Chris Gethard, for our more musically inclined listeners.
Yeah.
It's like a vanity plate, but phone number.
Right.
Once I was on TV for the first time, I demanded the phone company give me When You Wish Upon a Star as my phone number.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They did it because you're one of the Hollywood elite.
That's right.
Oh, big time. I'm known for it. Yeah.
That it's synonymous at this point. When someone's like, you know, like a famous person, like a Chris Gethard.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And then someone says, who? And they go, he was on The Office after Steve Carell left. He played Dr. Gary LaMarche on NBC's Blind Spot. Show some respect.
Blind Spot isn't Blacklist.
No.
Thank you, Justin. That's a helpful mnemonic device I use to keep Blind Spot and Blacklist separate in my mind.
Yeah. My mother-in-law, for every Sunday when we come over for dinner for literally 18 months in a row, would say, have you guys started watching The Blacklist yet?
I'm thinking about it, man.
It's worth it just for James Spader. And every time the pitch is the same. Hey, Chris, we had a laundromat question come up. You had no way of hearing it. So I just wanted to sort of recap for you. Basically, someone wants to use the dryer at the laundromat, but there's clothes in it, and they take them out and fold them, and they want to know if that's okay. And I just want to get, like, your take on it, sort of a, you know.
You're a real clothes horse, and we know that. Like, you're big into fashion, and you wear Supreme stuff all the time, and so we just figured you know your way around a laundromat.
Well, I actually have pretty strong opinions on this.
Okay.
All right.
Because I lived in Queens, New York for many years in a building that had shared laundry and way too few machines for way too many residents.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you are absolutely allowed. Well, there's like a certain step of social graces you have to go through. There's steps you have to take. You have to go in. You have to realize that the dryer is sitting there full of laundry. You have to get kind of huffy about it. You have to look around. You have to open the door of the dryer. Then you have to look around again to see if anybody's coming. Shut the door. Then you have to quietly simmer that someone has put you in this position.
Wait, wait, wait. Opening the door and shutting the door. Is that like a trap, a distraction? What's the purpose of that?
Is it performative? Is it to draw attention? It's,
you open it because you realize you're being put in the bad position of having to touch someone else's clothes.
And oh, then okay. Yeah. So you check it out.
I'm going to give them 10 more seconds to get down here and handle this. And then you open it again. But you give it that cursory open. Like, I cannot believe another human being did not set a timer or pay attention to their timer on their phone or whatever. They are putting you in a bad position. And at that point, if they haven't arrived, you are allowed to toss all of their clothes into one of those rolly racks and leave their clothes there. And I've been on both ends of this. I've tossed my fair share of clothes into rolly racks, and I'm not proud to say on one or two occasions I've come down to a laundry room and found my clothes in a dryer, and I deserved it. I deserved that, and I know that I put that person through some mental duress, but never fold another person's clothes.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's serial. Yes.
That's I would rather walk up to someone at a nice steak restaurant and then reach down and pick up the steak off their plate and then set it back down than interface with their clothes on such a deep and intimate level.
That's the word,
to fucking Marie Kondo that shit. On such a large scale, that makes me want to be sick.
And listen, you could say, listen, one could make the argument that at that moment, it's the cleanest the clothes could be, and then you're sullying them with you. If I came in, and also I like my shirts folded a particular way.
Yeah, they're going to fold it wrong. That's what I was going to say. They're going to fold it wrong, not the way the special way you like to do it.
And also you're going to find out I left like a paper towel in my pocket and now there's scraps everywhere and you're going to know that I lazily threw my jeans in there or whatever. I get it. You're going to come across like a sweater that should have been laid flat to dry that I clearly didn't give two shits about.
Yeah.
And you're going to judge me. That's my secret shame. You're not supposed to know about that.
If I came upon a pile of my own clothes that had been folded by a nameless, faceless stranger, I would have to throw those clothes away and I'd have to move out of that building if it was a special building. Because someone would have that on me forever.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just such an invasion. I mean, for starters, what if your silky drawers are in there? You know?
Exactly.
What if your silky, sexy drawers are
in there? Or worse, your lazy day drawers.
Your lazy day drawers. Like, you don't want someone pawing all over your unmentionables. That's a huge problem. And then, also, what if they do something weird, like fold your underwear?
Yeah.
Like, I would never fold my underwear in any scenario in my life ever.
You roll it?
No, you wad it up. You wad it up and jam it in. There's no. I'm a finite person
right.
with a finite life. Like, I'm not going to fold my underwear. No one will ever see it. Like, you jam it in.
Yeah. Now, Chris,
anything else is a waste.
Do you just jam it in or do you wad it up and jam it in?
You wad it up and jam it in.
You could say just jam it in. Save yourself a step.
Now, Chris, when you lived in New York and you had this issue, did you never just like go out to your window and put all the clothes on the clothesline that ran between your building and the building across from you?
Watch the kids playing stickball on the street below.
And you hear
below.
Kitty cats having fights in trash cans and somebody yelling about a pizza or something.
While the gangs of New York did battle down on the street.
Yeah.
The ice butcher. Man, that guy selling, who'd shaved down some ice off the big block of ice was clanging his old bell.
Oh, yeah. As they collected dead from the plague.
Every once in a while, I'd do that, sure.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Because it seems bad. Like, I would take advantage of that if I, like, I don't want downy fresh clothes. I want the smell of the city on me, like, at all times.
Mm-hmm. And then some detective sidekick, a little put upon boy in a newsboy cap, he'd yell up at me, "Hey, mister, don't hang those clothes there. This is a active investigation, mister."
Right.
And you'd say, like, "I saw something, but I ain't talking."
Yeah.
And then they would come put the screws to you, I imagine. And also, it's good because when you put your clothes on that clothesline, if someone falls out of a building, they can land in your unmentionables. And that's going to help break the fall and be comical. Yeah.
I have another problem. On top of the dryer is the dirtiest place in my house. It's covered in lint.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. Now you just inlinted their garments. This is horrific.
That's the punishment, though. I would say, to Chris's point from earlier, if they wanted to avoid the enlightening, then they should have been down there before the timer ran out. Not after. Like, if it's going to take, like, 48 minutes or whatever, you set your timer for 43 minutes to give yourself time to get down there and be poised and ready to remove your clothes as, like, your hand should be on the handle when the buzzer goes.
Chris, I have a judgment call for you because you have more experience in this. Less weird, folding someone else's clothes or taking their clothes and putting them back in the washer. And when they come down, just like, you must begin again. Like, you,
it needed more.
The cycle starts anew.
Putting them back in the washer is such a fuck you.
I looked at them. They were still dirty. Had to go one more again. What if you pulled them out and then you, piece by piece, hid them separately around the rim and left a note like, yes, your clothes are clean and dry, but it's up to you to find them. You have all the clues.
That would drive a person truly insane. If a person came down to the laundry room in their building and was like, I am positive I switched these from the washer to the dryer. Why are they back in the washer? That's like an Edgar Allan Poe level psychological torture.
Yeah.
We need a third device. We need a third appliance in the clothes cleaning process where you wash and then you dry. And then we need like a proving drawer where extra clothes can be stored so that someone else can get down on the washer.
Well, if we're trying to avoid, maybe you just put it in and it just bounces them around for a while, right? It's not really doing anything except they can't settle into wrinkles.
Yeah.
Right? It's just keeping them vibrating.
That's good. A vibrator. We could just call it a vibrator.
Let's just call it a vibrator.
That's cool.
I feel like wrinkles is a burden. If you let it go longer than the dryer and you are not there to get your own dryer stuff out promptly, I mean, ideally before the buzzer goes off, certainly within 3 to 5 minutes after it goes off, if it goes past that window, wrinkles are your burden to bear. That's your penance to pay. And you know that. And that's part of the social contract of living in a city where you use shared laundry rooms. If I was on an elevator in a building, unsure if one of the other people in there had at some point folded my clothes for me. I would have to be dead. I would have to find a way to turn off my heart and my brain because I would never be able to look anyone in the eye again. Wrinkly clothes are an accepted. Everyone knows that when you live in a society, there's certain actions that have consequences. And not getting to the dryer promptly means you might have wrinkly clothes. I'd much prefer wrinkly clothes on my own terms than folded clothes on someone else's. And I'll die on that hill.
Also, that way, when you're walking around the building wearing wrinkly clothes, or if you spot someone else doing it, you're like, that's them. I know that's the person who leaves the laundry in there. Now, Chris, let me ask you this, because I'm dying to know. Would it be better or worse if the question asker had printed up some business cards with their face, with a picture of them, and their name on it, and like their apartment number that said like, listen, I don't want you to worry about this. I did it. I folded your clothes. And this is my schedule should you choose to avoid me for the rest of our lives.
Or it says on there like, hey, I'm trying to get into business for myself. Only the first one's free though. So if you would like this kind of attention to detail in a few, our white glove service in folding laundry.
If you came down and they were tied up in some like parchment paper, with like a twine bow around it.
Fuck.
Like on a cruise ship when you get them and they all got the little tags in their basket.
I feel like that's going to turn this from like weird to ooh la la. I've got like a fairy godmother.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris, what else you got going on? What's going on with you, bud?
You want to just stick around and rap for a
just
while?
Just what's I would going love on, it. Bud? Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on with me? I'm a dad now. I got a beard now. Everything's changed.
Whoa. Did they happen simultaneously?
They all tie into a midlife crisis. That's very clear. The child triggered a larger midlife crisis that has now reflected itself in facial hair.
Yeah.
That's why you called your baby Corvette. I get it now. I didn't understand.
I actually got a Vespa with the first baby, and then I was like, that was fucked up. And then with the second baby, I like reflexively got another Vespa.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was weird. Now, I'll tell you, Chris, when my first was born, I had a very long beard right up until she was about 9 months old, at which point she was able to make full-blown fists and attempt to remove my beard from my face, at which point I shorn it down to quite a short level. I'm not quite certain how old your baby is, but you've got that to look forward to.
He's about to be 3, and I cannot grow enough facial hair to have him he already punches me, kicks me, yells in my face. He's at that age already where I'll tell you the exact window he's in, because I've heard that most kids go through this, is he can pee in the potty, no problem, but he gets really embarrassed about pooping. So he poops in the diaper. And then when you go to change the diaper, he's humiliated and shamed and reacts with rage and violence. That's the exact window.
That's how I feel when I poop too. Just like still.
It's gross. It sucks that we have to
so
do that.
It's so weird. And our parents told me I was the only one who did it.
That's fucked up that they said that to you, Trev.
Yeah, I know. It's really weird.
Hey, you got a new essay coming out from Scribd.
Oh, Originals. Yeah. I'm promoting. I wrote a thing called Dad on Pills. It's on a service called Scribd. It's not quite book length, but it's up there. You can get an audiobook or ebook. And it's all about, I wonder, you know, I think a lot of people of our generation, it's like we're the first people who started openly saying like, hey, I take Depakote, I take Xanax, I have anxiety, I have depression. We're all going to talk about these things. But I wrote a thing that's all been all about how I'm reconciling that with being a dad. Because a dad, like, you're supposed to be a role model.
You're supposed to be a Mo Rocca.
My father was a fantastic orator and a fine mole rattle for me. Growing up,
I've spent my whole adult life feeling sort of like broken and not like a god. Like, no, I don't feel like a man by the traditional standards. So now I have a son. That's ridiculous. So it's all about that, and it's pretty funny, and I like it, and it's raw and it's real.
Can I ask you a question, Chris, that I was struggling with last night?
Sure.
And this is a little more serious, but everybody's allowed to guess. Hey, it's not heavy. It's just like a little more thoughtful. My kids are, you know, like talking but not communicating. Just like, you know how kids are just sometimes like, I just gotta make some noise.
Oh, yeah.
And they were both doing it. And I was really getting stressed out because I get too much like noise, people talking, and then you're feeding the kids and it gets like, just because of the way my brain's all put together, I got like unduly frustrated and like really in my head about it. And I really struggled with, should I tell my kids that like it's hard for me when this has happened? Like, it was a real struggle. Like, I didn't know really how to handle it. Like, I felt weird telling them that they had to modify my behavior because of my, you know, mental illness. And like, I feel like as a parent, sometimes I have this urge that I should just like keep trucking and keep on pushing through no matter what. But it did feel like admitting a frailty to them. And I don't know. I just want to get your thoughts on that sort of
idea. That's this thing that I wrote. It's exactly about all those questions like that. And I'm with
you. Oh, so you're saying I got to get
Plug.
No, but I'm with you. And it's exactly because I sit there and I have all those instincts too of like, I better put the poker face on and I better make them think everything's okay. And I got to be strong for my son. And my dad did all those things for me and he's a great dad. But then I also think about how many years I've unwrapped so much of those exact things in therapy and how that mentality of feeling like you need to be tough in the face of stuff and how you shouldn't show emotion, like how much that built to boiling points for me. And I go, oh, this is all stuff that instinctively I'm feeling like I have to do because that's the only example I know. Maybe some of it's example, some of it's biological, I don't know. But it didn't work out well for me, all those traditional, like, I wish that maybe at, you know, I'm not the only person of my age who probably wishes my dad could have been a little more emotional, you know, who could have let his guard down at times, and maybe that would have let me let my guard down. And I sit here and I'm like, man, I am a mess. Like, I'm an actual mess. I had an incident. We moved to our house in Jersey, and I write about this in the thing that I'm plugging, but I started to have like an attack. Like, I've had these panic attacks, these anxiety attacks over the years. And I realized I hadn't looked up the mental hospital closest to me at my new house. So I looked it up just in case I had to go. And it was one that we used to, when we were growing up in Jersey, one big thing that people like to do for fun is they go and they break into abandoned mental hospitals.
Yeah, sure.
Really fun. And I was like, oh, it's Greystone Hospital. I've broken into the abandoned parts of that. Am I really going to go be, is that the full circle moment of my life? Like when I was 16, I used to break into this mental hospital for fun. And now I'm going to go be a patient there. And like, I'm in my yard holding
it's
my son.
It's the circle of life.
That's the real circle of life. And I'm like Googling that with my phone in one hand while holding my son in the other and crying. And I'm just like, oh, I am bad at being a dad in the traditional sense. So how do I do this? And when I went to look for advice on it, there wasn't much out there. So I just wrote a thing that is funny. I'm not qualified to give advice, but it's like a funny look at stuff like
it's
this.
Never stopped us.
Maybe
yeah, we'll make we, it we've been doing it for long. 13 years.
There you go. Yeah. You build up, right. You just start getting honest. You just got to start getting honest.
So. You could also, Justin, you could just do what I do, is I'm very open about my emotions and my mental health with my kids. Oh, but then I also tell them stories about different wild animals that I've been in fist fight with and like how much I've embarrassed those animals and be like, yeah, there's one time three bears came in and I whooped their asses.
I do that too. Like, I'm like, yeah, I know I'm crying about this McDonald's commercial I saw. And I don't seem to be very okay, but I built that table you're eating on, kid.
Yeah, right. Oh, hands. Yeah. I just watched 30 seconds of Homeward Bound, and now I'm sobbing.
Yeah.
But also, watch me pick up this heavy chair. Yeah.
I can't listen to Sola Salou from Seussical. So what, kid? Get off my case.
Watch me punch this drywall.
50 cigars. Hey, you're going on the road again.
Yeah.
That's got to feel. Gotta be exciting.
Oh, it's the best. I had started going on the road last year, and then the Omicron shut it down.
Oh, yeah.
Pushed oh, yeah, back baby. Like
5 months. Yeah, baby.
Yep.
I got it all scheduled starting in May. People can go to chrisgeth.com, and I got dates all over the country of Florida and California and Portland and Seattle. And guess where else? West Virginia.
That's right. Come to Morgantown.
Time. I'll be there.
For the first time. Have you never been to West Virginia or never performed?
I've driven through West Virginia. And in my past life, I used to work at a book series all about like haunted places and conspiracy theories and stuff. So I've driven around West Virginia in relation to
the Trans-Allegheny Asylum there. There's a huge abandoned mental hospital that they turned into a haunted house. Tasteful. Yeah, love it. Yes. That's yeah, we did when we had all our tours planned out for 2020. And I can remember very clearly having this discussion of like, well, we had to cancel the March shows, but I bet this will be all set by April.
Yep.
And I was right, but it turned out to be April 2022.
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys got your tour dates back up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
And it's, I wanted to like name the tour something like, you know, the God Willing and the Creek Don't Rise tour, or the like
time for sure.
Yeah, the pending the Hubris of Man tour. that's at chrisgeth.com. Scribd is where you can find Chris's new, not a book, I know.
It's like a novella,
it's a novella. It's called Dad on Pills. You'll like
Dad
it.
Dad on Pills. And, well, Chris, I appreciate you being here, bud. Thank you. Oh,
thanks for having me. And we didn't even talk any smack about J.D. Amato, which we could have done.
Oh, we will.
Oh, that fucking clown.
Join us for the MBMBAM after show.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Thank you. That was so fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Chris. No, that was for Chris Gethard. Oh. That wasn't for you.
Damn it.
Don't try to steal one of Justin's precious thankses.
Well, I was just so excited. You know, like on Great British Bake Off, when Paula Hollywood goes in for the handshake and another contestant will swoop in and take the handshake.
Yeah, and then Paul's like, damn it. Yeah, I touched you.
Sorry, I was going to shake your hand, but then Tom Rick came over and took it.
Yeah.
Tom Rick is the name of every contestant on the show. Anyway, thank you, Chris Gethard, and thank you to you for listening. And I guess thank you to Travis.
Yes.
Yourself.
I don't need the thanks.
Fucking got it.
Travis, do the promotions. You're good at
this. Oh, right. So we're really excited. We're going back on the road. 20 Rendezvous Fancy Takes Flight Tour. Tickets are on sale now. We have stops in Washington, D.C., Detroit, Michigan, Cincinnati, Ohio, St. Louis, Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, Minneapolis, Minnesota,
Boston, Massachusetts. You don't have to say the states.
Oh, Mashantucket, Salt Lake City, Portland, San Diego, and
like,
a virgin.
Nobody's going to be like,
Ariel?
People aren't going to be like, oh, you mean San Diego, North Carolina? You know?
Well, I know, but I was trying to pump it up, you know, because sometimes people just like hearing the name of their state, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I feel when I hear Ohio. So virtual Taz in May. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. You can find out all the links and all the info at bit.ly/McElroyTours and mask and proof of full vaccination or negative COVID test within 72 hours of the event start are required. You can find out all the info. Once again, all the ticket links at bit.ly/McElroyTours. We're so excited to see you and come to a town hopefully near you. I mean, we're doing as many as we can. We're trying to catch up here. And thank you to everybody. Speaking of virtual MBMB AM, thank you to everybody who joined us for the virtual show on Saturday.
That hasn't happened yet.
No, but it will once people listen to this.
We haven't done it yet. But people, how do you know if anybody joined? Maybe nobody joined.
Well, at least Dad will be there. Video on demand is still available for $10. You can still watch that now at bit.ly/MBMBAM virtual.
Maybe you'll be the first. Maybe you'll be the first.
Well, I doubt they'll be.
MBMBAM virtual. Trav, you got to do the URL.
I know. bit.ly/MBMBAM virtual. There's no way they'll be the first. Dad wrote a children's book called Goldie's Guide to Grandchilding. It comes out on March 29th. You can pre-order now at linktr.ee. That's linktr.ee/Goldie's Guide. Go pre-order that now. We got all the great stuff over at macroymerge.com, including the Pin of the Month, which benefits the National Black Women's Justice Institute. We've got the 20 Rendezvous pins over there. You can get two pins or one or whatever you want. Go check them out. That's designed...
Three, maybe?
Whatever you want. It's designed by Lucas Hespenhide. Go check those out. And we've got the I'm Not Ashamed of My Clown Husband sticker, which is designed by Jacob Bailey and benefits the Huntington Children's Museum.
Woo, woo.
Also, I'm on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheTravisMcElroy.
Hey,
yes.
Thank you to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. If you're in the mood for dope tracks, she just did a new single with David Byrne called Always Be You.
Impossible. Nobody's that cool.
It's possible. She is that cool. And yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you, Montaigne. And that's it. We don't have a final Yahoo ever again. But instead, let's just...
Will you do
short prayer?
The thing is, you're doing like a new bit.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, Griffin, maybe this is like your final point sign off to like a college graduation. Like this is your like, you know, don't forget to wear sunscreen or something like that.
You
like,
do what's know that yours? I am doing that in a couple.
Well,
of
then this is great practice.
We haven't talked to. Listen, Griffin, we don't have time to get into that because it will be a thorough conversation.
Okay.
When we do address that topic.
Okay. Well, then I will say that go out there and just fucking go ahead and go out. Sorry, it's go out there. Go ahead.
Tonight. That sounds like you're holding the door open for the graduating class.
Tonight make the most of it.
Go out there.
Go out there. Go ahead.
Meet you at Applebee's.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother Me. Kiss Your Dad Square on the Lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.